This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Club Champion. Whether you're looking to find the perfect driver or the entire bag, connecting with the club fitting expert at Club Champion will put you in the best possible combination of head and shaft to maximize your swing potential. They are so confident they even guarantee your fit. If you're anything like me, you'll enjoy every second and find out more than you can ever ask about your swing. Visit www.clubchampion.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and laughing with me today is Mr. Josh Talge of Titleist fame. How are you, Josh?
Oh, man, you get me every time. I love it. It's so great to see you, Dan. Good to be back with all the THPers, one of my favorite communities, certainly the most involved and passionate community when it comes to talking about gear, talking about travel. We've even slided in some baseball references. It's such a great community, and obviously always fun, Dan, for you and I to catch up most of the time because we're talking about new stuff, which is always fun.
Yeah, the lead-in email chain, you showed some real excitement, and I understand it, man. You've got a new product out there called GT, and we'll definitely get into that today. But I really want to know, how are things going with you? I'm assuming quite busy, but how's the year looking?
Yeah, we've had an awesome year. You know, golf is in such a good spot, and at Titleist, we're in a really good place because we're running a lot of the core strategies that make our business and our brand really successful. That starts with, for us, trying to make the best product in golf. As you know, we do these two-year product life cycles that enables us to have something that's going to be demonstrably better and different than it was in the past. And then as we start to move into really making sure the pyramid of influence is working at every level. And I think when you start to look at all the, whether it's junior AMs, you start to get into USAM, NCAAs, everything on the amateur level, Titleist is just doing terrific. We're actually, you know, the most played piece of equipment, we sweep every one of those counts, which is really neat for us. And then certainly as you get up into PGA Tour, Korn Ferry, DP World Tour, LPGA, just incredible results and success, which is really neat. But we're in this stage right now with this driver launch where we're starting to have a chance to see some consumers. And we've seen, you know, a lot of our ambassadors and media partners like yourself, Dan. And that's when it's so fun for us because we know we've got something special with GT driver, and we want to get it out there and have people experience it. And there's no better way to do that than hitting it firsthand and really working with a trained fitter. And we always say, please just bring whatever's in your bag. We're confident that we've got something special. And when it comes to GT, we're more than confident that we've got a really breakthrough product.
I want to dial you back a little bit because we will get to GT, but it seems like every time you come on, you tell a big story about a new product. And then the next time you're on, you tell a big story about another new product. We don't really often get to circle back on some things that have been out and performing well. For example, the T-Series irons or the new wedges, SM10s, absolutely stunning products. How has that performed for you? Has it met expectations? Has it exceeded? Where do you stand on those?
You know, the Vokey team, a lot of times we always joke, we're like, cue the Vokey music, you know, because it's time to go. The Vokey team does such a great job. And SM10 has been just another home run for us. For anyone listening who hasn't had a chance to try SM10 wedges, certainly if you're looking at anything that's in your bag that's more than a few years old, remember one key thing is grooves do wear out. And we want to make sure we keep that spin really high. So please go try SM10. We found real success in making sure we've got this very broad, you know, we've got 25 different varieties of bounce and grind combinations for golfers to really find something that's unique for them and that's really going to match up with their swing. And then to have the variety within your bag, and this is something, Dan, you and I have talked about a lot, is it's so important to have perhaps like a high bounce wedge, like a D grind in your sand wedge, and then you go something low bounce. Maybe it's a T grind, maybe it's an L grind or an M grind as you start to go into your lob wedge. So you've got that versatility where suddenly the lie can help you determine what type of shot you're going to hit and which wedge you're going to choose. And the wedge team has just been spectacular this year. SM10 has has been, you know, I'm sure it's the top seller, and it's certainly the most played at every single level of golf. And that's been really fun for us to see. So SM10 off to a great start. T-Series that you brought up, man, it's so much fun to be able to bump into golfers when you see our products in their bags, and then you get to listen to their stories of how it happened. You know, they worked with Fitter on something, they've got a mixed bag approach. We see that time and time again when it comes to T-Series. So something maybe a little bit more forgiving and some of the long irons. And then as they get a little bit closer to scoring clubs, they start to go a little bit more compact in size. And I'm just thrilled with what we're doing with T-Series.
Where did you land for your bag? What do you have in there?
I have a fun bag. So I go with...
Listen how excited he is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's true. I know your guys actually like this stuff. And I love it too. So if I run... You want me to go top to bottom?
So yeah, man. Lay it on us. We'd love to know.
All right. So I'm in a GT2. I go 10 degree for my head. I go a little bit shorter on my shaft length. So I'm in a 44 and a quarter length driver from a shaft perspective. Okay. Yeah, a little bit short. That helps me with a lot of control. And what I've found, and something, again, golfers, again, please go see a trained fitter. But working with our team here, what I found is I find center face more often with that. And so my ball speed actually goes up, even though I've gotten a little bit shorter in length. Which is what I'm looking for. I use I've got a Ventus black or Ventus TR black 7X in that. Again, when you cut it down, it becomes a little easier to handle that weight. And then I'm currently testing some prototypes. You've likely seen that we have a 2-wood that we've had out on tour. So I'm testing a prototype 2-wood right now, which is pretty fun. And I'm using a Ventus Blue 8X shaft in that, and actually playing that at 43 inches. So kind of interesting to have that almost like a second serve approach for a driver. And then I hop back to a GT2 5-wood, which I love. I keep the Graphite Design IZ 8X in with that, which I really love. I've got that at standard length. And then a really fun part of my bag, I have like a what JJ Van Wiesenbeck, who heads up our PGA Tour team and is one of my good friends. So he sometimes Frankensteins some product for me. And so we have built a what we call a 3.5 iron. So it is a T200 3 iron utility head bent to 4 iron loft with a Tensei 1K black 3 iron length graphite hybrid shaft in it. All for the goal of how do we find the ball speed gaps that we were looking for? And I absolutely love it. It's a really nice, it carries around 210 to 215 and then rolls out about, you know, 5-10 yards from there. And it's really plugged a nice gap. So I have that. And then I transition into T150. I play T150 from 5 iron through 9 iron. I do that in 1 degree week. With a trying to think of my shaft, it's the S taper or money taper, the 125 gram edition, and then I go right into Vokey. So I play a Vokey pitching wedge, 4610F. Then I go 5808F, and 5412D, and then 60 A grind.
Interesting.
Which I really like. A grind is a very old school. It's a sole that doesn't have any hard lines on it. It is just, it's got a little bit of camber, but real smooth, classic full sole. And I really like that. It really allows you as a user to use your hands quite a bit and just kind of have fun with it and make up a lot of shots as you go. But having that diversity really helps. And then like most players, again, this is something I didn't realize until I got to Titleist. As you get into your wedges with my pitching wedge and my gap wedge, which for me are primarily, think of it almost like a 10 iron and an 11 iron. I'm hitting full shots with those the vast majority of time. I keep my I keep that S taper shaft through those, but then I go a little bit heavier and a little bit softer as I go into the sand wedge and into lob wedge. And that's something that Aaron Dill and team see on tour, and it really does work pretty well to go. I go just a touch heavier and again, a little softer. So kind of go into an S flex.
Okay. And then do you have one of your old fancy putters in the bag, or is this a new product in there?
I'm currently putting. I'm putting quite well. I've got a Phantom 5.5 in the bag. Okay. And I really like this new version of the Phantoms. I like how it sets up. I almost feel like the shape of it kind of looks like a big arrow pointing me towards my target line without having to have big lines on it in that product. And it feels, especially the 5.5, feels like it still releases a little bit more like a blade putter would, but gives me, you know, for those miss hits, it gives you that nice stability off center. So nice. I'm very, very happy with that. My fastback Trillium 1.5 is sad sitting on the sidelines for a little right now. It's still calling to me, letting me know that it's there and ready to go.
And then golf ball, you Pro V1X?
I'm Pro V1.
Pro V1. Okay.
Yeah, I go Pro V1. We're really fortunate again. Fitting is such a big deal here. We've got a really cool golf ball fitting app that we've been messing around with ourselves, just getting ready for it to launch. It's now just launched in the marketplace with all of our fitting communities. And going through that, I'm kind of a tweener. I could play either Pro V1X or Pro V1, but I don't have any issues with height. And spin was really good with both. And so it came down to a feel preference for me that I liked a little bit of a softer feel of Pro V1, certainly around the greens. But really, I was, a lot of times it really spits you out and you're like, oh, you're clearly Pro V1X, or you're a left dash candidate, or you need to be down here in Pro V1 or AVX. In this case, I was close in between, and have messed around and continued to you know, love to try whenever Jeremy Stone and a team gives us prototypes, love to take those out and see what the new golf balls are working on. So, but B for me.
Okay. So my yearly plug, any chance you guys are going to manufacture aggressively the left dot?
Here comes the dot question. I thought about bringing I literally walked by a dozen of them and thought, do I hold them up to the screen?
Yeah.
As we're talking it's about this.
The only dozen in them. California.
Yeah, just be like, here it is, you know, no big deal. I think what we're finding in 40 Pitts, who works with the tour team, and this giant group that we have that works in golf ball R&D, is they're plugging away at what will the next V and X look like. And I think the next V will have some elements of dot, because we've seen some of the things that can do. And making sure that we're really helping players play their best. But dot is pretty niche, pretty progressive. But we'll see how things shake out.
That's close enough. I'll take that. I've dragged you on long enough. I know you're desperate to talk about GT, cause it is an exciting product, and I'll lead you in, Talgi. I assume the T stands for Talgi. I think they finally gave you the credit where you wanted, but you know, maybe it doesn't. You can clarify for us why GT and why the step away from TSR.
Yeah, it is not gin and tonic, as I've seen on some of the forums. It may make you feel that way afterwards. It's so much fun. The GT actually stands for generational technology. And this is something, this is a big step. And I think what's interesting is people listening to this have probably seen pictures of GT and are thinking, all right, well, it kind of looks like your standard Titleist driver. It's black. It's got a really pretty shape, and it certainly looks like it's once again an all titanium product. But in this case, it's really not. We've you know, you hear a lot of golf club manufacturers want to have visible technology, and they want to show you all the different things that are on the club, so you have something to point to at retail or with your fitter. And we've gone the opposite. If anything, we almost have like invisible technology. So we are using, we've kind of gone beyond carbon fiber to use this new material. It's a proprietary matrixed polymer, and that's allowed us to shift some center of gravity, really hit some arrow targets that we wanted to, but we've hidden it. So when you set this product down, it's as clean as could be. And we did that on purpose, because when we talk to the best players in the world, that's what they love about Titleist, is that it's really clean. It has a classic look to it. And most importantly, it allows them to have that confidence over the ball, but also not feel like, oh, this feels like it's open, or it feels like it's shut. And when you start to put a seam on the crown of a driver, there's a lot of players that can have that kind of viewpoint. So we wanted to avoid that seam if possible. But I think what's interesting about this generational technology, Dan, and I promise I'll take a breath unless you ask another question, is it really started with this idea of how can we get more speed? And when we sit down with Stefan Luttrell and the Metalwoods team and ask them if that's what we're looking for, we're like, hey, we really love the shapes that address. We don't really want to change that a whole lot, but we would like to see a little bit more ball speed. We'd love to see a little bit higher launch, maybe a touch less spin. And we really want to have consistency with this product. We want people to be able to, if they miss it a little bit, to still be able to find their ball down the fairway and have that perhaps be a little bit further than it normally would be. So not an easy brief, you know, to accept if you're a Metalwoods engineer. And what was interesting is this team came together, and the first thing, we've got this great aerodynamics department. Steve Ogg really heads up that team. And he came back with these shapes and really his focus. And I'm going to hold up a GT3 here to the camera, but I'll describe it to everybody who's just, you know, in their car driving. And really what you want to do is you want to make this teardrop shape as much as you can. But ideally, when you look at the crown of a driver and you see the slope that's on the crown of the driver, if you can have the sole match that same slope, basically be able to pull that into that teardrop shape, that's going to give you the most speed. But as you think about how important center of gravity is, and again, for anyone listening to this, I would just say, imagine that you're standing up and you've got your hands at your side. Where do you think your center of gravity is? It's probably somewhere around like your belly button, somewhere in that area. Now, if you told me you put your hands straight up in the air, where's your center of gravity? Well, it went up, right? It's now up towards your sternum, getting close to, you know, to your chest. And when you start to like move the bottom part of this club to be able to have that teardrop shape, suddenly CG starts to go up. And your listeners are really good at understanding all these different engineering terms that work in driver design. High CG isn't really going to help you get a lot faster ball speed and more launch and less spin. It's kind of doing the opposite of that. And so that's where the team had to come together. The aero team's like, hey, we can make this thing really fast through the air if we raise this skirt, get that up higher. But the engineering group is like, but that screws our CG. What are we going to do? And their compromise was, hey, let's figure out a different material that's going to save us, in this case, 3x the weight, and be able to wrap this material around the driver to be able to give us both the aero that Steve Ogg and team are looking for and this lower, more forward CG that the engineers are looking for. So we can get you that ball speed, we can get you the aero, so you're swinging it faster, you know, faster through the air and faster off the face. That's really the combination that we're looking for.
So new material is very interesting, but it begs the question, why? Why go to the extent you do? You know, I think back to a couple years ago when you had this face material that was used in space and things like that. You know, that you just take it that next step and I want to know why. I think everyone wants to know why. Why not a simple carbon fiber? What forced you to go above and beyond on this new crown?
I'm really impressed with our team. You know, you mentioned the face material. It's ATI 425. Super fun to say, and it is. It's this titanium, aerospace grade titanium that it was literally used on the Mars rover, and we still use it today. And we're the only one in golf using that. In fact, I think we've joked about this before. There's only three customers of ATI 425. That's the U.S. military, NASA, and Titleist. And that's a cool spot to be in, right? It's also interesting. We don't usually finish number three in things, but we are definitely just a third to NASA and the U.S. Military when it comes to ATI. But it's a really cool material, and it's helped us not make sure that we can really maintain ball speed. But this is our quest, is what can we do that is going to really, truly enhance performance? Now, we've tested carbon fiber drivers for years, and we've looked at them in our designs of, can this help us get where we want to be? And none of them really had a breakthrough. We would see very similar types of ball speeds to an all-tie construction, and it just wasn't worth it to us to make that move because there are other trade-offs. Sometimes it was, where is the CG going to be placed? Because you'd have to build like a shelf to basically glue that carbon fiber in. We didn't love that. And then sound and feel were almost always dramatically impacted. So when we challenged the team of, if we're looking for a different material to solve this aero plus CG construction, it's got to be something that helps us gain that speed, but also, if we can do it, makes it give us this feel, this sound that we're looking for. And so I'm gonna break out this material here if I can. We got this cool little display case.
Do you walk around with that locked up with handcuffs on one hand or what?
Totally. I feel like, well, what was the? It was a game show that did that, right? With and they had all of these like models holding these cases.
Oh, Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And every time I look at it, that's what I think of. Anyways. But this material is really interesting. And Dan Stone, who was our head of R&D, I remember coming into my office like 6 or 7 years ago. And he's like, hey, take a look at this. And he hands me this sheet of material. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, like whack it. You know, and so you like start banging on it and it clangs, you know, and he's like, uh-huh, interesting, Dan. And he's like, that's not metal. And I'm gonna try to like drop this thing and see if it'll clang. I don't know if it'll pick up through my AirPods or not, but hopefully you can hear that.
Yeah, totally hear that. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That's basically, you know, that's a polymer or almost like a plastic that just made that noise that is exceptionally metallic.
Give them one more drop, just, you know, for entertainment's sake.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Hopefully you hear it like clanging along.
Yeah, man. Like, and let me step in here because I got the experience. Shout out to Rod here in Ohio for driving me through the product last month. But, you know, when he pulls this thing out, it looks like your traditional non-metal material, and you run your hand across it, and that's kind of the sense you get. But then the second he dropped it, it just sounded metallic. There's no better way of putting it. It sounded like a piece of metal that's in a fine sheet getting dropped. So, yeah, please continue on that, because that is, I assume, a significant portion of the sound profile that makes up GT.
It's massive. And it, again, it's super strong and it's super lightweight. And that's what's really cool about it, is not only does it sound like metal, but it solves the engineering challenge we had, which is how do we take, you know, how do we reduce weight by 3x so that we can have this discretionary mass? And then, so again, I'm going to give another visual for those of you watching, really easy. I'll do my best to describe this. But the way we've done this crown is it really kind of wraps around, almost think of it like, I don't know, we're in Southern California, like a taco shell, so to speak. And it slides off the back and it leaves us with, again, for those listening at home or on the road, wherever you're listening, is think of this like a barbell. We want a whole bunch of weight up by the face, and then we want a whole bunch of weight back at the rear. We don't want a lot of weight in between. That's not going to help us. We get a lot of weight back. That's going to help us with some stable MOI values. And we get a lot of weight up front and low. That's going to get our CG placement where we want. And that's going to give us that ultimate performance. And so that's what this really enables us to do. Now, we've had plenty of questions of like, hey, you know, we've heard in the past that you've got to put a lot of, you got to build a shelf, or you got to put a lot of glue, those types of things to offset the weight savings. It doesn't really help you. Did you get it where you want? Well, if you notice with this design, kind of this, for lack of a better term, taco shell that we're sliding on and off here, is it because it wraps around and because of the way we've really built this and manufactured this thing, it almost naturally just slides in, and you can almost feel the like thump, like a car door shutting, like it's solid and it's right in there. And because of that, we're able to get those CG targets where we want them. So we get all the benefits of that weight savings. And then, as we talked about before, when you hit this thing, it's hard. It feels like you're hitting a metal product. It really gives you that feeling of, wow, I really crunched that golf ball.
So the head that you're messing around with there, that is that GT2?
This one happens to be a GT2. Yep.
Okay. So just having a look at the heads online, you have that Now on Tour logo or image that's on their website. There's visually different locations, I think, that these are designed on. So is that your form of visual technology, that you can actually see it looking underneath at sort of the toe side? You can see that wave. Is that where that material exists, or is that just a visual?
No, it is a representation of where it
is. Perfect.
Yeah, it's not exactly perfect. Like when you cut it off, you'll be like, oh, it's off by, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
A quarter of an inch or something like that. But visually it's very much in that space. And as we, you know, when we've come up with our full, Dan, what we're talking about right now is we've just been doing tour launch. So it's kind of more of like teaser images. We don't have all the tech images up. As this pod goes live, those are all going to be up. So please check out titleist.com. You'll be able to see much better. It'll look less like a taco that I just described and more like a really well manufactured, engineered product. And in fact, one of the reasons that it's taken us so long. So I mentioned that Dan Stone brought this material and was showing me 6-7 years ago. It took us a long time to figure out how to do this because no one's using this material. No one's using these types of manufacturing techniques. And so it was pretty easy for us to make one or to make 10, but we have to make 500,000 drivers and they've got to perform at the highest level and have a level of quality. You've had a chance to go through all of our quality metrics that we stick to, that it's got to really hold up. And so it took us years to figure out how can we do that? How can we produce at a mass scale with this really innovative, not only material, but engineering know-how?
I'm going to skip on the sound feedback because there are elements I want to focus on and we only have so much time. When you took that crown off, there were some what looked like tracks running along the bottom of the driver head. That I assume that's like your way of finding weight in the right place and allowing that discretionary weighting to exist to perform at absolute optimum levels?
100%. You'll always find inside drivers almost kind of some ribbing, if you will. And that's done for a variety of reasons. It's done to make sure that, remember, when you impact a golf ball, it's almost like an earthquake type sound wave that shakes through here. And it really, you've got to make sure that the product can withstand that type of an impact. Remember, we have players who are swinging, you know, drivers at more than 120 miles an hour, sending them off with, you know, 200 miles an hour of ball speed off the face. And so that starts to make a serious impact. So you've got to reinforce in certain areas and make sure that you're also putting the weight where you want it. I'm going to spin this around. And again, just visit titleist.com. We'll have much better pictures of this. But you can start to see almost where my finger is pointing here, Dan. We've built in weight pockets.
So way out on the toe side and then the heel side.
And as you can imagine, that starts to spread, you know, the sweet spot across the club face. So you start to really be like, okay, how do we make sure that you're getting the best performance off center? It's really impressive what the team is able to do. And certainly, you know, computing software has made some of this easier. But part of it is just having knowledgeable engineers who have worked in and around golf for decades and perfecting what they know they can do to really push the envelope.
So talking about pushing the envelope, I believe the face is similar to or the same styling as the last couple iterations. Has anything shifted in that area?
I mentioned ATI 425. We want to continue using that material. It works so well for us. Again, very light, very strong, military grade, aerospace grade material is so important to us. The one note is, and again, this looks very similar. I'm now holding the driver up so you can see it at a dress or you can see the face. But as we start to look at what can we do, the best players in the world, they want to be able to frame the golf ball. And what they're looking for is contrast. And that contrast allows them to find center face more often. So we kind of use this almost like an old school persimmon look with this kind of this wide V or wide U in the middle. And then we want to make that as dark as possible and then lighten up the sides so it can really frame the golf ball and those players can find center face more often.
That's pretty interesting.
Full images, just go online. You'll be able to see right. that. But what we like is, and we've seen this for all these different players at all these different levels, immediately when you hand a good player a driver, the first thing they do is they put it down. I'm sure you do the same thing, Dan. You put it down in the address position. And their first comment is always around shape. And we spend so much time dialing in shape and getting shape right. And you'll see I'm holding it right now a GT3, which I think is the best shape in golf. It's this perfect teardrop, kind of pear-shaped, classic-looking driver, all in, you know, with this modern performance. And when players look at that, they get very excited. And then the next thing they see is the face. And when they can start to see, whether some players will say, I really like that I can see loft. I really like the way this frames. I really like the way this sits nice and square. or feels just a touch open. Boy, when you can have those reactions before you even take a swing, you're ready to go.
Right. I think I'm definitely guilty of the put it down and look at it, because that's the only thing that matters in a driver before you actually swing the club is, can you stand to look at it? Yeah. And there has been this sort of trend of 460cc that it can almost look a little bit gaudy at a dress, like so big, almost like you can't even move it around your body. I've played a 430, 440cc for a long time just because I'm a center face guy. Fortunately, my flaws are elsewhere. So, you know, my gains are...
I got one of those for you right here, Dan.
Right. What I thought was interesting is when I put GT3 down, it didn't have that same sort of big head profile that I was anticipating. It was actually very pleasant. And normally that's the differentiator. Because I hit center face, I usually get the option, like, you would benefit from these two heads and for these two reasons. It's kind of up to you what you want to go with. Normally, I would lean on the smaller head almost unconditionally. And surprising to me this time around, we saw the benefits of GT3 so much that I actually didn't go in the 4, which I had, I'll admit, driving to my fitting, I was fully expecting if there was a 4 series that I'd be in it. And sure enough, there it was. But no, we ended up in GT3. And I think that's a huge compliment to the design team, because normally I would look at a large head like that and just be put off by it. But, you know, the shaping just really presents well here.
I appreciate you saying that. It is something, as I mentioned, we take very seriously, and we work on this, you know, continually. I brought up JJ Van Wiesenbeck earlier. JJ heads up our PGA Tour team, and every week he's usually out on the road Sunday through Wednesday. And then first thing Thursday morning, he's back here debriefing our teams and showcasing for them, here's the feedback we're hearing. And so he is constantly taking out different shapes, getting player feedback, early prototypes, and really making sure that we dial this in that it's going to delight all golfers. And I think the GT3 does a great job with that. Not only right from address, but then as soon as you start hitting this thing, it's a monster.
I want to dive into that a bit more, and it sounds like you are fairly connected with the tour experience and their not only their adoption of the product, but also their perspective of it as you go through testing. What has it been like for GT? Has it been a little bit faster? Has it been a little bit surprising, or fairly standard for them on adoption and consideration?
I think it's been surprising for a lot of the players, because they're used to, they're, you got to remember, especially the players on the PGA Tour, they're really well fit. They are in really good product. Almost every single one of them that we've been working with was in a TSR product that they were hitting really, really well. And for them to see, and the way we start our fittings is we simply just take your head, put the new head on, like for like. We don't change anything. We don't change setting. We don't change shaft. We just want to see, where are we starting with here? And we had players like JT Poston, first swing, see a couple miles an hour of ball speed and just be like, wait a second, I don't understand. Why is that happening? We had Ben on, joked with us. He took like 2 swings. He was like, all right, are we done? He's like, because it's launching a little bit higher, spinning a little bit less, and I gained, you know, 2 to 3 miles an hour of ball speed. Can we just be done? I'm ready. I'm all in. And that was really kind of time and time again of, this product is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It helps you swing a little faster in the air, and we transfer that speed off the face. And if we can give you a little more speed, great. And then the thing that has really blown the guys away is how it responds on miss hits. And the real response rate, we got to remember, a lot of these tour pros, they know their numbers really well. They're whether they're using GC Quad or TrackMan, they're in on it all the time. And they also feel their strike location quite well. So the most common shot that we're seeing right now on the PGA Tour off the tee is a little baby cut. Well, typically what happens with a cut, your miss is going to be down towards the heel. And this is where this product has really stood out, is when they get a little bit heely, typically that's where you'd see the spin kind of balloon up. That's where you're going to see it start to drift off into the right rough, if not into the right trees, and certainly lose a lot of speed. This is where this driver has been so incredible. And so instead of seeing something balloon up into the 3,000 RPMs, it's staying at 2,600, maybe 2,700. Conversely, if you get one a little bit high up on the toe, that's where you typically see that real low spin, hooky product Same thing here. We're keeping it in the 2000 instead of having to drop into that 14, 1500 space. And that's been amazing. I was just with Rafa Correa Bello just the other day. We were doing a driver demo with Team Titleist with some of our super fans. And Rafa hit 36 shots with GT3. Take a guess what the difference from his highest spin to his lowest was.
347.
153 RPM.
Oh my God. I thought I was being very conservative.
I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy.
And it was something that we talked about. We're like, hey, it's really tight and it's really good. And he kept doing it and we finished. And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, Robert, here's the plus minus after all these balls. And he, you know, willingly said, he's like, hey, I hit that one here. I got this one on the toe. I got it. And that he was just blown away by it. And the whole crowd was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And that's really kind of the secret sauce of what you see with GT is we're going to get you speed, but we're going to really make sure that you keep it in the fairway. We're going to keep you in play further downrange than you were before.
So I want to focus on sound now from a tour perspective, because as you mentioned, these guys are incredibly well fit. They're incredibly familiar with how they hit the ball, where they hit the ball. And not to mention that they're hitting these things thousands of times a year. So their goal is to find a very, quality sound, not an offensive sound in any sort of way. And I'll admit, I think this is a massive step up in many ways. I hit all through the line and I was shocked at how good overall that the driver sounded. I would argue that it is one of the more satisfying Titleist drivers I've ever hit from a quality of contact perspective. So I'd love to hear that from the tour side of things. And obviously as these go to market, we'll have tons of feedback on THP, but strictly from the tour side of things, how's the feedback being on the sound?
Oh man, two thumbs up, Dan. And they're experiencing what you just said, which is, I think this is the best sounding. And a lot of times they relate it to feel, because sound is feel.
Sound is feel, yeah,
for,
sure.
For most players. And so they'll just say like, this driver feels so good. It just feels like the ball sits on the face and then just explodes off it. And that's really comforting to our team. I don't know if we've talked about this, Dan, but the way we design sound is pretty interesting. Chuck Golden and team, they work in these anechoic chambers to really dial in sound. And we look across it. Sound is so important to us because it kind of reflects the overall quality of the product. Very similar to, this used to be a big thing in the auto industry, shutting the door. Like BMW for years, they would have all these sound researchers working on this. It was all about when you shut the door, when you get in that BMW, that represents the overall quality of the vehicle. How strong of a quality is that thud that you get from shutting the door? And we think about driver impact and iron impact the same way. And so the way our team works is, they know we've been plotting this across three different areas. We know where our better players like to hear it. So we measure how loud something is, how long you hear that noise, and then what the pitch is. Is it high or is it low? And when you triangulate those three, it really gives you this feel of, all right, that's what we're looking for. And that's something that we set out to really drive with this driver.
Is there an intent to maintain the same profile across all the heads in the lineup? Listen, I'm going to assume there's a one coming. You don't need to tell me based on the last
there's one coming.
Okay.
There we go. Breaking news, T.H. Spears. We will do a one model, but no, we want them to feel similar, right? Because this is the sound target in that space. But when you look at something like, you know, I'm holding up a GT3 right now, and for anyone that's seen pictures of it, the weight track has gone from the back all the way to the forward. Now, with that, think of this almost like a speaker. Sound or air needs to move through this driver head. You've got this big, you know, piece of engineering in a weight track up front. It's going to be different than when you look at something like a GT2, where that weight is all the way in the back. Now, we still want to plot that in a very good space where you're like, yes, these all sound like they're brothers, you know, that they're very related to each other, but they don't have to be triplets.
Yeah, I think the reason why I asked that is because there should be an expectation, especially by the style of each head, especially when you go from like a 4 to a 1, that the type of golfer that's going to hit it is going to be probably significantly different if you look at the median of everything. Four being your faster swingers that are looking for just extreme performance and low spin, whereas one is, you know, that all forgiving, hyper supportive product for maybe someone with a little bit slower swing speed that maybe needs a little bit of help. So the thought there is, if you know realistically that the average golfer who's going to hit that product is going to perform at a certain level, is there an understanding that like we need to elevate this particular head to be maybe a hair louder because the people swinging it will be a hair slower versus this head where a lot of the higher percentage will be really fast swing speeds. So we're going to try and dial it back a bit because they already make a lot of noise when they hit a driver.
Yes, we do that. Okay. We do that across the lineup, based on what we typically see from swing speeds to really dial that in, because it does make a difference how fast you're swinging the head, but we want it to be a pleasing sound regardless of how fast you're doing. And the reason, you did a really good job of it, Dan, the reason we have all these different models is everyone's got their own unique swing, right? It's like a snowflake. Like everyone is doing things just slightly different. And we want to make sure that we've got 4 great head models. In this case, we launched with 3. The only reason we don't bring GT1 at the beginning is typically we build that on a similar platform as GT2. And so we want to make sure we get that dialed in before we start to take weight out and start to move CG a little higher, typically in a GT1 product, because we want to get you even more height, but we want to make sure we're keeping spin, because spin is lift. And for those players who aren't swinging as fast, they don't create as much spin. So it just takes us a little bit more time to get that dialed in. So we want to nail GT2 first and then get GT1 up and running.
Okay. I want to do a little call to action for our listeners, because I think this has been the fascinating component of my experience through the fitting. When I went through the T-Series iron fitting, I was really satisfied with 3 of the heads, but it wasn't like it was a hard decision. I hit T100, thought it was a wonderful club. But I was sort of getting a little bit too turfy, if you know what I mean. And then I switched to 150, and it was instantly obvious what club made sense for me. And I think I found the exact same experience here with GT. Is, listen, I hit 2, I hit 3, I hit 4. And then when I went back to 3, it was obvious that was the head that would work best for me. The call to action I have is, I want people to go and try this for themselves and see if it's really obvious to you, or whether you could go either way with a couple heads in the lineup. I think this has been a really fun experience for me to see that, because I don't usually get that. Usually it's player CB, lowest spinning head possible, no real middle ground. Where in this case, I've had a lot of freedom to get something that both performs and feels the way that I'm looking for. And I just love to hear that, whether other golfers are experiencing that as well.
I do. I echo what you're saying, Dan, which is, please go try them, right? Go work with a fitter, and you don't have to listen to the marketing guy say like, oh, this is really great, you should totally buy this. Go try it yourself. And I think you're going to be blown away by the performance of these golf clubs, but it might, just like it did for you, Dan, it might change some of your, hey, you walked in thinking I'm going to be this. Like in this case, I thought I was going to be GT3. I have a consistent miss on the face, which is out towards the toe. I never visit the heel of the golf club. Just doesn't happen on a driver. And so it would make sense for me to be able to align kind of the center of gravity up by my impact location out on the toe, and I would consistently see this. And it does. It works quite well for me, but it doesn't work as consistently well as the 2. And so it was shocking to me to see that happen. And so switching from a 3 model to a 2 model, but I'm playing better golf and I'm hitting more fairways and I'm hitting it a lot further than I did, 6 months ago, which is really what you want out of the driver.
I love that. Listen, I know you're short on time, and we haven't really even touched on the fairway woods, but hey, that's an opportunity. Talgi.
Oh, can we come back?
Will you come back and tell us stories about fairway woods?
I would love to. Okay. Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm sorry that I talked too much today. But
some people would argue not enough.
But for people listening, like I said, please go try these. Every golf shop has GT drivers. All of our fitting communities are there. If you go to titleist.com, we got a whole fitting section. You can look up where to get fit and really experience them firsthand. Because if you're someone who's played Titleist drivers, I can promise you this is going to blow you away. If you're someone who hasn't, please give us a shot. Go check these things out. And I think that you're going to find something that you might be like, gosh, I just hadn't considered Titleist. And boy, I need to right now.
I think anyone who listened to that not metal sound like metal as you clanked it around in your desk is probably going to go try it. Either way, we'll have some great feedback on the THP community forums if you're looking for other folks' response to the new product as it comes out, as we always do. We'll have a fun chat here on the forum as well, talking about this particular conversation. And yeah, like Talagi said, go try them for yourself. Let us know what you think. And if you are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Make it count. Tell someone they're good and then tell someone they're bad. Who cares? We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.